The next case is 07550, Board of Education of Dublin City Schools versus Franklin County Board of Revision.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Jeffrey Rich on behalf of the Dublin Board of Education. This case is about what I would refer to and call the smell test as to whether or not a sales transaction should be used in this state to determine the value of the property for real property tax purposes. That smell test is in our proposition of law number 4. There we say, a property owner who relies on the price paid for real property, which is subject to voluntary use restrictions and easements, has the burden to show what the value of the property would have been if it had been sold unencumbered by such restrictions and easements, or if the property had not been so encumbered. And we rely on the Knowlton case. 4 dates. If you know 4 dates, you know this case does not pass the smell test. First date, October 21st, 1999. Continental Eagle purchases this 2.47 acre parcel, which is immediately south of the Giant Eagle grocery store, which is located at the southwest corner of Bethel and Sawmill Roads in the border between Upper Arlington and Dublin, Ohio, a very hot corner. They purchase it for $700,000. 7 months later, May 15th, 2000, because the Giant Eagle lot was only 10 acres and the amount of business that they had required more parking, they put on this particular property voluntary use restrictions and easements that say that this 2.47 acre parcel they just paid $700,000 for can be used by Giant Eagle customers for parking. That's like me putting an easement to the benefit of my next door neighbor's home to allow my friends, my family, to have those people park their cars on my lot, my front lawn, and my driveway. That's what they did.
Does the record reflect if there was consideration for that and what it was?
There was no consideration. It was voluntary, the same owner. It was the same owner who developed both properties. So the second date is May 15, 2000. They refiled it a couple of times, but it was the same thing. Third date, September 16, 2002, a little over 2 years later. They sell that property now to UA Professional Center for $200,000. A 70% decline in the value of the hottest area in Franklin County in less than 3 years.
But, fourth date. But the easement is real, is it not?
Yes.
As to the new owners.
Absolutely.
They're stuck with it.
They're stuck with it.
So shouldn't it be what happens is the value of the Giant Eagle property goes up? Because now they have more parking. They can handle more customers.
Well, that would be inconsistent with your Mirfield case, because the Mirfield case says you can't attribute value to other properties. In that case, you had the Mirfield swimming pool, tennis courts, common area, and they valued it at $337,000, and the Board of Revision agreed it ought to stay that way, but the owners wanted to be valued at zero because they said the same thing. Well, the value's really, and all the people who live in Mirfield can use that pool. It's in their homes. We get more money for their lots because of that. Well, the Board of Tax Appeals reversed the Board of Revision, and the Court of Appeals affirmed it, but you reversed, and you said, we only value property in Ohio, fee simple, unencumbered. So that property had to be valued in that fashion. So the same thing here is applicable, that when they sold this property for $200,000, that was the sale price. But as soon as the owner testified at the Board of Revision that the use restrictions and easements were on the property and it affected what the property was worth, the presumption that the sale price is the appropriate way to value this property for real property tax purposes goes out the window, because it's not fee simple unencumbered anymore. And then the owner has to, as the Knowlton case described, has to present appraisal evidence in order to show you what the value would have been had the property not been encumbered by these easements and restrictions. So the fourth date is March 31st, 2000.
You're saying the statute that says the presumption is the transaction price is the, if it's recent in time, sets the value, that goes out the window.
absolutely out the window because it violates Article 12, Section 2 of the Ohio Constitution, which is the uniform standard. Everybody else in Ohio is valued fee simple, unencumbered. And you've said that a million times. That's what it requires. So if the person who bought the property says, I bought it, it was subject to use easements and restrictions so that my neighbor can park all their cars there, and it affected the value of my property, obviously, when it went down 70%.
So how would you handle, because this is becoming, attempting to get more of this going in this state, it's common in the West, places that people like to go visit, where the owners give up the development rights to a public trust so that the ranch can be used for ranch purposes only and can never be developed. The same thing is happening in Ohio. Some places, people are being urged to convey away development rights to a public trust and to retain only the present or limited uses for the property. If we adopt what you're arguing, how would you handle those kinds of transactions?
You've already adopted it. It's not, I'm just repeating what you have said time in memoriam, and that is that property in Ohio for real property tax purposes is appraised at fee simple, unencumbered. It's always been the rule. It's the uniform rule. It has to be that way. Otherwise, everybody's standard would be different. You tax the entire bundle of rights. And if you give away some of the bundle of rights, the owner filed, in this case, a Board of Revision complaint asking the value be reduced to $200,000 and then testified that they had given away a bundle of their rights in the fact that their next-door neighbor can use that property for parking as they desire to. That meant that now the owner had to come in with other evidence to show that. The presumption disappeared as soon as the owner testified to what I explained.
So in the transfer of development rights, the owner that purchased a fee simple would have to bring in an appraisal of the value of that property with the development rights encumbered.
If they weren't selling all the fee simple and encumbered, then they would have to do that to show what it would, and it might have sold for the same thing. Their appraiser might have said that. In this case, it's devoid of any evidence as to what this property would have sold for. That's why they're not here today. They have the burden of proof. They've had it from the beginning. They have it through this court to show what that property is worth because the presumption is out the window, and they have not fulfilled that, and their hope is that you will shift that burden to the school board, to the auditor, even though they have full knowledge and only the full knowledge of the terms of this sale. You're going to shift it to us to prove the opposite. And in your recent case 2 months ago, the St. Bernard self-storage case, where you framed the issue, which is absolutely applicable to this case, whether the proponent of a contractual allocation of value has the burden to show the propriety of the allocation, or whether the opponent has the burden to prove that the allocation is not proper. And in that case, you had almost a $2 million sale of a self-storage place, and the owners in their contract said, well, $950,000 was for goodwill. Well, you said you can't separate the business value from the land value in that kind of property. So you phrased that issue, and then you came to the conclusion that if the deal appears suspect or arbitrary on its face, and that was in this case the splitting of almost half the value attributed to goodwill, you say you got to look further. You don't have to accept that presumption. And you held the proponent of an allocation of a sale price bears an initial burden of showing the propriety of the allocation. And you went on to say, we hold that in the context of valuing property for tax purposes, such an allocation is not to be taken as indicative of the value of the real property. And that's exactly what we're saying here. We're saying, abide by Knowlton, abide by Muirfield, abide by your recent case.
What about Berea? How do we distinguish Berea?
Berea is not applicable. Berea was a going back to really what was the law until 1986. It was like a 19-year diversion where you allowed financing to be considered in valuing the bundle of rights. That's all Berea had to do. It didn't have anything to do with easements. It didn't have anything to do with other restrictions. It didn't overrule Knowlton. It didn't overrule Muirfield. And it certainly was distinguished when you talked in St. Bernard. irrelevant to that case. That has financing can't be valued in transaction.
There were long-term leases in Berea, and we said that the value, that the property had to be valued based upon a recent arm's length sale.
Right. Nothing to do, though, with easements or restrictions.
Oh, but encumbrances.
But you didn't overrule Mirfield, and you didn't overrule Knowlton, because they aren't the same kind of encumbrances. Every investment property passes with leases in place. You can't go out and value all those, but a very small minority have very restrictive covenants that gives your next-door neighbor the right to use your property as they want to. Very, very few have that. You would have opened a Pandora's box had you done the opposite, and in a way, for 19 years while Ratner was in place, it was a Pandora's box because there was so much litigation trying to value a variety of things that transferred in every transaction.
Counsel, what made this property worth anything if the next-door neighbor had the right to use it exclusively?
Well, they built a they have since built, as in the testimony, it's in the record, they built a medical building. And the idea being, during the day, the medical building uses the parking lot as well. It's not a restrictive covenant only to the grocery store. But at nighttime, there's nobody using the building, and there's more people when they come home from work going for their groceries and on weekends. So it works out well for both of them.
What was the fourth date that you were trying to get to?
The fourth date was March 31st, 2003, when the owner filed its complaint at the Board of Revision asking that the value for 2002 tax year, which the auditor had at $631,100, be reduced to $200,000, the sale price. So when you look at those four dates, the first one, the $700,000 purchase in 99, the second one, 7 months later, putting the restrictive covenants, allowing the neighbor to use the property, and then less than 2 years later, selling it for $200,000, and then the owner filing a complaint at the Board of Revision, asking it to be reduced in value, and testifying at the Board of Revision that the value was affected because of that, you know you have a failure to pass the smell test.
If we have individuals who are sophisticated enough to craft easements on parcels of land and pay substantial amounts of money in connection with the sale, why wouldn't we presume that their lawyers would research encumbrances on that property and properly value between a willing seller and a willing buyer the amount of encumbrance as affecting the value so that we still get a true value, even though there is an easement to park Giant Eagle customer cars on the lot?
They could have done that. They didn't. Well, they could have brought somebody in to do that, to value it.
My point is, a sophisticated purchaser would not offer, for example, in this instance, $700,000 for this very 2.47-acre parcel of land, knowing that there was an easement on it authorizing parking for Giant Eagle customers. So we know that it likely wouldn't sell for the $700,000. It'd have to be some number less. And why shouldn't we presume that the parties have sort of let the market determine the fair market value for that sale of the encumbered property?
And they had an opportunity to do that. And the only thing they testified to was the owner saying that this property was sold with encumbrances, which adversely affected the market value.
And so the adverse effect on the market value here is $500,000. And why should we presume that they don't know what they're talking about? And why don't we follow that parties will pay what a willing buyer will offer and what a willing seller will accept as a determination of the fair market value of that parcel with the encumbrance?
That gets to the heart of it, Your Honor, and it's a very good question. And the reason is because we have two different situations, apples and oranges. In one case, we have an arm's length sale between a willing seller and a willing buyer who negotiated a value. And the other case, we have how we're going to do it for tax purposes when the owner says, I didn't buy all my rights.
Okay, but what I want to go back to is, after Giant Eagle, was it Giant Eagle that put the encumbrance on it?
Yes.
Okay. After they encumbered their own property, they knew they had a diminished value for a future sale. but they had out of the land what they wanted, and apparently they didn't want to continue paying the real estate taxes on a parcel of land that their customers could park cars on. So they wanted to give that burden to some other party. And here comes a medical building who says, that's perfect for us. We just won't pay you $700,000 for it. We'll offer you $200,000, and that's the fair market value as far as we're concerned.
But that would
why can't we rely that the parties have established the fair market value for that land?
It's the same thing as the Knowlton case. There were restrictions in that property having to do with environmental factors. The parties negotiated. It was a million-dollar parcel or something. It'd be $25,000 for it because they attributed a great deal of value to the holding harmless in these environmental issues.
Yes.
That was a fair market sale, no question about it. But that had nothing to do with the value of the property for real property tax purposes. That only has to do with fee simple, unencumbered. It's always been the law. It's the uniform rule under Article 12, Section 2, and therefore you and all the taxing authorities in Ohio have always held that they will consistently and uniformly value property.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. I see that my time is up. I believe that the decision, as I have indicated, was unreasonable and unlawful, and we therefore ask that you reverse it and put the auditor's value of $631,100 back on this property for tax year 2002.
Thank you, Mr. Rich. The appellee has not filed a brief. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.